Lemon Juice Podcast. I'm Gwen Douglas.
And I'm Emily Harmon.
And today's episode is...
Check Nat.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. We have to go straight into the puns.
We've got a few of them.
You have to like lay them out.
Yeah, we'll
later.
Just slowly, hopefully, deliver them in a comedic way.
So, today's episode is about Czech Republic, pet nuts, sparkling wines. So, we're going to talk about quickly what pet nut is.
Yeah.
So, that's a short form for pétillant naturel.
Very good. Yeah, exactly. So, pet nut or pétillant naturel is a style of sparkling where when the original fruity, sweet grape juice is in the fermentation process, so all of the little yeast are eating up the sugar, converting it into alcohol. During this process, we move the wine from tank or barrel into bottle.
Right.
And we let it finish in the closed bottle. So the natural CO2 that usually escapes, carbon dioxide, that usually escapes during fermentation is staying within the bottle and dissolves within the wine. That's what gives it a natural sparkling, pétillant naturel, pétillant sparkling, natural.
Perfect.
Or whatever.
Instead of what we're maybe used to with champagne or whatever else that gets a... done in a tank or in somewhere else and then bottled.
Yeah, so when we're making traditional method, which is the champagne method, what we're doing is we're letting the first fermentation finish. So we end up with a still wine. We're moving that still wine, maybe it might have some aging or different things done to it, but we're moving that into a bottle and then we're injecting more yeast and more sugar. We're closing the bottle. And then we do secondary fermentation, where we keep it on in contact with the yeast cells, which then gives it these little biscuity bakery notes. And then there's usually an aging process with those yeast cells, and then it's released. So it's a longer process.
Cool.
So
there is another name for pet nut too, right? Would it be
ancestral?
Yeah, ancestral.
Yes.
So ancestral method.
Yeah. Ancestral. Ancestral.
Ancestral.
Ancestral.
Because it would have been the way that anyone else making sparkling would have made it.
Yeah. So if you see champagne or you see crémant or method traditionnel, then it's
with the secondary bread.
And actually what's interesting today is I know we have actually, even though we said Czech Nat, so we're focusing on pet nat, there's a bit of a curveball
there
in here, but there's for a reason.
Yes, and I haven't
because
tried this one
very
yet,
interesting.
Somebody said it.
So, Czech sparkling. So I think we should start with maybe my wine.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. It's been a while since I've had this one. So since we're in the Czech Republic today, you're going to try the Thai coconut.
Oh, no. Oh, I thought you'd forgotten about that word.
No. Forever. I might even start marketing some terrible openers, just calling them Thai openers.
I wonder how many people are going to queue up to buy them.
I don't even know if you can... Does it have a thing on it?
Well, I think because I'd had a few drinks before today's episode, I felt like I was... My own punishment for myself is that I needed to be able to open the bottle of wine with this.
But I think you might need the other one. It might make things much easier.
Do not challenge me.
All right.
I think I've got it.
It's also made of plastic. Safety goggles might be advised.
Oh, yes.
She's a pro.
There was a moment there I was like, I don't know.
The whole coffee table flips. Everything's smashing.
Yeah,
the
bottle of wine's open, but everything else is
destroyed.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right, so can I?
Yes, please. So I guess we were talking before we started recording about also what sort of grape varieties we see in the Czech Republic and what... Is there anything particularly special about the grapes that are there, or...?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking... Actually, we've got two different producers that are in the same region. So Moravia, which is kind of the epicentre for everything that's kind of interesting happening wine-wise in Czech Republic at the moment, I think. There's quite a few natural wine producers. Okay. There's a natural wine fair. I think there might be two, actually, that happen in the year. And actually, the wines are getting quite a bit of traction. The fairs are getting a bit of traction and a lot of attention.
This guy is, like, everywhere.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, Korab. Like, I mean, Korab, for me, is, like, a world class.
It's, like, swept the floor with, like, everyone this year. It's like,
yeah, I mean, at the wine fair that I organised this year in Berlin, out of the 43 producers, this was a huge, like, Gorab was a huge highlight for me, and for a lot of people.
For a lot of people, yeah. Because every time I go to buy some, a lot of times it's been sold out, or it's everyone's talking about it. It's been
he's the man.
A quick look on Instagram shows you how excited people are about it.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
So we've got two producers in Moravia, where this is a place where there's a mixture of different soils. So we're seeing clay, we're seeing granite, we're seeing quartz, we're seeing Lus, like there's a whole mixture of different soils. It's quite an interesting spot for producing wines. But back to your question about grape varietals,
yeah,
is when I think about Moravia, I think of Czech wines. We see quite a lot of French varietals. Okay. So we see Riesling, we see Chardonnay. Sauvignon, Chardonnay, we see Gewürztraminer.
Yeah. I know, because Korab makes that one really delicious on leaves with the Gewürztraminer. That's so good.
I haven't tried his other one, which is 100% Gewürztraminer either.
Oh, la la.
I know.
Excited.
Yeah. Yes, we're seeing Gewürztraminer. I think there's some Chardonnay, some Austrian varietals like Neuburgen, Neuburger. We're seeing some Welsh Riesling. Grüner Veltliner, obviously, as well. So there's a little bit of a mixture of sort of east meets west.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So what we've got here is a Pet Nat, so made in the method that we just mentioned.
That we just discussed. Yep.
Yeah. Which is a blend of Müller Thurgau, Welsh Riesling, and Riesling. So at least the Riesling and Müller Thurgau, very aromatic grape varieties.
It's been a long week, so I'm pretty excited for my first drink.
Been a long day for me. This is interesting. It smells like Mbongo. It's got this very like pineapple-y tropical juice.
Totally.
Lilt. Like almost lilt. Like lilt.
Oh, I was just talking about lilt the other day. I said to Lucas, I wish we had lilt here. I love that stuff.
This is just the wine you need after skydiving.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is why she's had a long day.
Skydiving and a lot of wine after.
Yeah.
Diving through the air, diving through wine, arriving for a podcast. Yeah. So fermented in oak.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently 20 days in the oak, wild yeasts. And then it's bottled with 10 grams of residual sugar just to finish.
To finish off that last little
bit of it, yeah.
Oh, it's really nice. I mean, this wine also this year was definitely something I was seeing a lot of friends post about, or people were buying it a lot. It's also another maybe cult favorite, would we say?
Yeah, I mean, in Berlin, this wine, there was a stage, particularly 3 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a stage where this wine was everywhere, like an industry standard at Wild Thing. This was the wine that everybody was pouring.
It was like the go-to.
Yeah, it was just like, this is the cool new wine that everybody's pouring by the glass. It got to the point where I was like, don't show me another bottle of fucking Czech Nat. No, because it'd been everybody everywhere so much, whereas now I'm over that.
And we can appreciate it. Yeah, totally.
I'm positive now, but...
yeah, but I do think that happens. If you get something and you're seeing it everywhere, you're like, Lord, just give me something different.
Mm. But really, I love these wines because I think in the past they've been a bit funky. I know particularly with one of the other cuvées. So I know that actually, sorry, I forget that we're recording on video now and I forget about the audio. So just for anybody that's tuning in on the audio and not on the video, 2017 Crème de Parc National from Dobra Vinice. Just to make sure that everybody knows what we're doing.
Yeah,
totally.
They'll be like, what was that wine?
Yeah, very irresponsible, sorry. So, yeah, I mean, again, on the natural spectrum, it's unfined, it's unfiltered. I mean, it's cloudy wine. There's no sulfur use. It's a small, small producer, 15 hectares, but I think actually very nice, very clean.
Very clean.
There was a stage where I actually listed the Crème de Pinot. It was called Crème de Pinot or Crème de Vin. And it was Pinot Noir and I think a bit of Riesling. And there was a stage where you used to open the bottle of wine and it would just like, you'd lose like at least a third of a bottle.
Really? Yeah, because so obviously,
they bottled it with too much residual sugar. So there was just so much gas that when you opened it, you just lost so much wine. But that's not the case with this wine. It's got the perfect amount of bubble.
Yes, because actually, I also think you could drink a fair amount of this and not be like burping like crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's a nice, fine amount of bubble. It's not overwhelming. which is actually maybe one of the things I like.
It's like a lilt with a vitamin inside.
Yeah, the little like
a lilt with like, vitamins.
Just, with like a Barocca.
An effervescent. Yeah, exactly. Effervescent vitamin lilt. Okay. Which I don't know. That's an alcoholic.
An alcoholic. I mean, I'd have that in the morning. Bring it on. That's really nice.
Great run to line, actually.
Yes, I was actually kind of thinking the same thing. Sorry, I like...
No, it's nice because it's interesting because it smells quite fruity and it's got a little bit of exotic fruit, but very dry on the palate.
There is a bit of grapefruity breakfastiness about it.
Dry, citrusy, quite fresh.
Yeah, I really like it.
Mm.
Lovely. Is there anything else we want to add? I mean...
What do you think about this, Gwen? Food pairings?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with brunch. I also just think, like, I don't know, I think pet nuts are so nice for any occasion. I mean, we've done it before, and we've done, like, late night
end of drinking.
End of the night. It's so good, because it's not, it's palatable, it's easy.
It's the bookend of the day.
Yes, it's the beginning, it's the end, it's the middle, it's the...
It's every moment.
It's a wine for all time. Just stick one in your handbag, and off you go.
Yeah.
No, I really think that that's, I think one of the things that's so nice about pet nuts. You know, you can
versatility.
Make... Yes.
Yeah, versatility for sure.
Because sometimes I think if you're buying a champagne or something, you think there never needs to be a special occasion for champagne, let's be real. But I think that these are a nice, like, you can make any moment a little bit festive with everyone likes a bit of fizz.
It's not just about celebration when you drink champagne, but it feels...
You feel...
somewhat luxurious you drink it. Whereas this feels special, but it feels like you could probably drink 12 bottles of it.
Let's
and
call it business
feel like
casual.
You're not... Yeah. Casual.
Business casual.
I like that.
Does it sort of like...
Business lunch.
It's a little bit... It does make it a bit more fun than just a still white.
Yeah.
Like if you bring a bit of fizz, but it's not so over the top fancy that...
I like that.
The business casual voice. Weird, but okay, yeah.
Very good. Touché.
Cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah, like that. I love that it's got a little bit of that aromatic, slightly floral edge, but on the grapefruit side, and then very citrusy, clean.
Yeah, I think very easy one. Mm. Cool. So I'm really excited to try this next one.
Let's do it.
Because I haven't tried
it. You have to use the type opener for this one.
No, I'm not. That's not possible. Imagine.
I'd be like... Actually, what's going to be very interesting is to see how you do open this.
Oh, God. And it's gotten a bit, I wanted to say sweaty, but that's not the...
Why? Oh my God, we'll see how we go.
Oh no, is it?
Well, no, wait.
Is it good that I'm wearing black? Should I not point it at
you? Don't point it at me.
Oh, it's not doing...
Swap it around.
It's not doing the old twist like it.
I know. I'm going to get
shit.
Oh, this is really funny. I just realised this now.
I know. And the capsule is open. So now I'm like, I've got sweaty hands.
I think you can take the... you need to make a decision whether it's easier for you with or without the metal. The metal might give you more grip.
No, the metal is...
I don't think it's going to make it any easier.
No, I think it's... I might have to, like, not point it at myself. Oh my God.
I know. I recently opened this wine at a wine training and it just came back to me at this moment. I didn't even think to warn you about it until this moment.
I mean, I have to go. I honest to God don't know how to open this right now. I'm glad I haven't had a few drinks because this is. I'm afraid of like.
It's good that your friend has and she's like totally laughing and just not helping you.
Why did they put this cork in here? Alright, guys. I really want to look at this. I'm like gonna have a... Yeah, I'm handing it over. Because I'm gonna end up... I don't know if any of you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, but there's an episode with Baggy Sleeve, and now I've entered Baggy Sleeve Mum. So now that my outfit is like...
Then you have to drink that.
Alright.
It won't pop out, okay. Trust me.
Drink it! Okay. I'm trying not to put myself in the line of fire.
I know, I love that, like, you had it pointed at me the whole time. And now you're
pointing it at that!
Fuck off. Sorry, Gwen, I didn't mean to swear.
It's really difficult. I have weak hands on my hands.
I climb. It's not about weak hands.
No, I've tattooed all week. My hand is tired. I have a strong grip too, but hands are
but
tired.
I have not been tattooing or gripping anything for at least
this hand
today.
Like, yeah. It's like...
It's not to do with your grip.
It's all red.
This is shitty.
Like, what the?
We're on it. We're almost there.
Oh my god. I'm like, I've actually got a sweat on. Like, I'm sweaty. Like, that actually, like, made me nervous. It was, like, upsetting. Like, I would hate for someone... You'd have to open this.
Here we go. No, just watch out.
You haven't tried now. I was scared.
Right. No, so this, like, just wow. To look at it, just to make, put it in, like, look how long,
hold on,
look how long the cork is. It's a very big cork. I mean,
so.
Gotta take your time.
I mean, I reckon they must be worried that it's that powerful, that it's going to, like, shoot out the cork. That would be the only reason they would put such a huge...
I don't know if it's been in there long enough that it hasn't shrunk down, so it's still quite tight.
I mean, it looks like it's got an extender on it. It's like... Look at this. It's like a
line.
This
is like an episode of Austin Powers. Like, yeah. Austin Powers being, like, on the floor in a puddle right now.
I mean, I'm going to put this here for the people, because that is a cork.
Down the hatch.
Just smashing all the glasses. Ooh, the colour is pretty already.
I know. This is totally
wow,
you. It's like
so pretty.
Antique peach.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
It's the colour of the chairs.
Yeah. I would say this is... I actually think this is more of like a sienna tone, actually, than antique peach.
I think they can... If you put some white in some sienna, it might become a bit peachy.
Okay.
You don't have to trust me on that.
All right.
But I think they match. I think they look quite good. They're lovely.
Yeah. We made it through that moment together.
Oof.
That is, it was so funny.
Like, I'm sweating.
I had it at wine training recently and I was like, oh, I'll open it. This is how you open a bottle of sparkling wine. And it was like, it went on for so long and it got to the point where some of the guys were like, I'll do it. And I was like, there's no way in hell you're opening this.
Yeah,
I am opening this.
Hurt.
I've got it. Yeah, but it's really, you have to press that bottle against you and sort of.
Because I was like thinking, like, oh, I'm gonna show off my skills.
Yeah, you did a good job of that, Gwen.
Nope, no skills shown today. Just
pain. You did. You showed your drinking skills.
I necked it.
Yeah, how to drink sparkling wine quicker than anybody else.
Just down the hatch.
How to drink sparkling wine without it bubbling up out of your mouth.
So I wanted to ask a question actually, because as we were pouring this one, of course, there was more like fizz and froth going on. Do you think that's a This might be a silly question. Is it? Do you think there's a difference in bubble texture?
Yes, definitely, because of the way that this is made. So this actually isn't a pet nat. So we're drinking now the quasi cremant from Korab, Peter Korab. So also, this actually, Peter Korab, one of my favourite producers in Europe, but my favourite Czech producer because of the wines that he produces. For me, I love that they have a classic finesse, however, an artisanal, slightly gritty edge. There's always this fingerprint.
So quirky, they have a character.
Yeah, but he always, like, there's always his, like, trademark where you have a wine that it's very well made, expresses the varietal, expresses where it comes from, has this complexity to it, but then this kind of edge of funk, but
it's
in a very interesting way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fun, but they're adult.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this actually isn't a pet nat. And I know that you had his pet nat and you had this, and I was like, bring this one.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a way more interesting wine for us to discuss.
But one of the questions I had was, when I bought it at Fraulein Brussel, not far from here, that it's sort of a half and half, that it isn't, some of it is made pet nat style and some of it is made...
Is that what you got told?
Well, it's what I understood. That's different from what I was told. What I understood is
So this one has two fermentations, not one.
Okay.
Yeah, so really interestingly here, so we see the first fermentation is made with Pinot Noir. And once that Pinot Noir's gone through its first fermentation, it then is mixed with unfermented Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc, and that's the second fermentation.
Aha. So that's why it's like kind of half and half, because then two of the grape varieties are... basically being fermented like a pet nat, then the other half are being fermented like
the first wine's almost like a pet nat, but it finishes its ferment. Well, no, because it's not really a pet nat.
I think that's why they had to call it this.
Yeah, well, it's method tradition now, so it's unusual. You wouldn't usually use one varietal for the base wine and then use two unfermented juices for the second fermentation. So it's technically it is a cremant. Because the first time I was like, oh, it's a pet nat, because I thought that it finished its fermentation in bottle.
Ah, okay, it doesn't. at all?
Well, no, so you have, well, it's a, it does.
Yes, right.
But the unfermented grape juice is put in with the Pinot, right. And that finishes its fermentation in bottle with the lees, like a champagne would. Mm-hmm. The difference is, instead of adding a dosage of yeast and sugar, they're just adding unfermented grape juice to the already fermented wine. So it's I don't know, it's very interesting. Also, it's interesting because he's using champagne grape varietals, Pinot Blanc, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, which I love this because I actually think this is like the colour of vintage for me.
It's like it's really pretty.
Like you, I think antique peach is it's the totally, perfect word for it. But like when you see this, it's got a romantic edge to it.
It is romantic.
Yeah, it takes you back to the 20s of the colour.
If you could bottle this in a completely different label and sell it to a totally different market.
I'm very interesting with this wine because I think that what's very interesting about this is it's a wine that if you're into really natty, sort of more obscure stuff, you're going to be like, wow, that's really mad. He makes wine like this. You're going to drink it and you're going to go, wow, it's great. But if you're into decent champagne too, you're going to appreciate this wine.
I mean, I took a little sip and it is smoky.
Yeah.
It is really nice.
It's smoky, but then there's quite a bit of fruit there. There's almost this red fruit, like it's got this cherry edge to it when you first smell it.
I would want to... I already want to drink this.
Floral notes, like the butteriness. Yeah.
I want to drink this while eating oysters with, like, even oysters with scotch on them. I would, like, down this on the side.
Such good wine.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah.
Mmm.
I could drink that every day.
It's funny because it really... I think when I took the first sip, it is that surprising little, like, smoky edge that's so different to... Especially pet nuts, I find them a little bit on the sweet side sometimes, or they have a little sugar left in them that makes them good breakfast wines. But this is a definitely, like, a surprise there.
This is a smoked salmon on toast.
I mean, I don't eat smoked salmon. That's probably why I wouldn't think it.
That's You've got Scottish jeans.
I know, Dad is more into, like... kippers? Herring. Yeah, kippers.
Kippers would be good. You're not into that either.
No, I don't know why.
Smoky fish, mackerel?
Mackerel I like, okay, mackerel.
Mackerel on
mackerel
toast.
Mackerel, we're good. Mm, yeah. I'm definitely going the fish route. Yeah.
Fish and eggs on toast.
Yeah, right, I'm done on that. So I'm burping already.
But amazing because I think a lot of people, I know that I certainly did, even as a wine professional for quite a few years, we all think about sparkling wine and we think directly of France, obviously, right. Champagne, different Cremant, Pet Nat, obviously, as well, with a French name.
Yeah.
Maybe we think of Italy, we think of Franciacorta, we think of Prosecco, and then
Carver. Are we not all over Prosecco, except England? England still loves a bit of Prosecco.
Prosecco's mad.
Like, they're
one of the biggest markets
for
Prosecco in the world.
But the rest of us, like...
Interestingly, it's like 60% of men that buy Prosecco as well.
Really?
Mm. That actually pay for it, yeah, and buy for it.
Who are they? Who are you?
I can imagine being a lot of your clients, actually.
I don't know.
Gay guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like Prosecco is a drink that is for everybody from every walk of life.
Totally. Yes, it is. Men, women, gay, straight.
Transgender,
everybody.
Like it doesn't matter like, what you are, where you come from. Like
everybody likes a
glass
a bit of Prosecco. Yeah. I mean, I would say that about fizz. More people should be looking outside of what we were discussing. More people should be looking outside of the regions that they're used to it when they think of fizz, because, like you said, everyone thinks of Italy, France. Maybe Spain with Cava.
Yeah, or some kind of crappy New World attempts at sparkling often from the big brands. And I actually think there are very few countries that make awful sparkling wine. So you look in Italy, there's great sparkling wine.
Totally.
Actually, I could go really wrong. I think maybe I'll put my foot in that.
No, because I actually really like...
Austria, there's some interest... some good pet nat, though. Oh, she's like,
I'm an Austrian boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't like it. The mafia vibes coming out now. You are a She's a tattooer. Yeah, it's like, don't touch Gewürztraminer, don't touch Austria. That's my turf, baby.
My peeps.
Yeah, but no,
pet nuts. I don't know if I've had sparklings.
Come on, you've had some pet nuts.
From Austria? Yes, sorry. Been a long week.
And that river runs deep. So we've got, English, sparkling, obviously, as well.
Delicious. We should get Laura on sometime.
We should, yes.
We should talk about that.
Post-baby.
Yes.
2 weeks from now.
So England's making great sparkling.
England's making great sparkling. Obviously, we're seeing these two very good producers here in Czech Republic. We're seeing some interesting stuff coming out of Portugal for sparkling. Yeah. Actually, all over Europe, it's like all opening up.
Really interesting bits. Europe? There's some other...
So we have, obviously, Austria, as we mentioned, like Burgenland. We're seeing some people making some very interesting fizz on the Petnat style.
Yeah.
In Weinviertel, producers like Ebner Ebenauer making some more traditional method sparklings that are good. We are seeing also, Hungary, actually not so much.
They're not down with the fizz.
Produced sort of all over the world now. We're seeing some interesting stuff popping up, as we said.
Yeah.
A little bit of stuff showing up now. Petnats in Austria, obviously Czech Republic. Look out for Poland, because there's a lot more wine or vines or grape varieties being planted in
Even
Poland.
Croatia, I think, and all kinds of different places.
And also just more wine in general being produced, and quality wine being produced in Greece, in Cyprus. Cool. In Turkey, I think now it's a very, very exciting time to actually be looking for interesting new wines from new places.
So I would say to close...
New frontiers.
No, I like it. New frontiers.
Yeah.
I would say to close, if you want to impress your friends, find some wine from some other regions. Like, just take a break from France and Italy for just a minute. Those are the tried and trues. You know they're going to be delicious. But maybe it's fun to show up at a party with a bit of fizz from the Czech Republic. It has a great story. There's some great wines being made. Look at these beautiful labels. Just lots of nice things that are happening around the world outside of France and Italy.
Yeah, totally. So if you're in Berlin, the way you can find these wines, so the Dobrovenice from Rocket Wine, Peter Korab from Fraulein Brosel. And
both great wine shops.
Equally in London, there's an importer called Basket Press Wines that specializes in Czech wine.
Really cool.
And aside from that, if you're looking for Eastern European wines, I would look at Newcomer Wines on Dawson Lane, which is a great wine bar and wine shop. And Gwen will feel particularly happy about that because there's a lot of Austrian wine
representing
there
the Austrian peeps. Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. So until next week, I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon. Check you out next week. Check us out.
Almost forgot to say that you can find us on.
I thought you were going to slip in. Find us on Twitter, juice_podcast.
Instagram at juice.podcast.
On our website.
At juice.show, where you can pick up a snazzy tote bag as pictured in the video. Yep. And you can also please subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find us at Juice Podcast.
Yeah, just Google. Yeah, go Google. Go onto YouTube, type in Juice Wine Podcast, and you will find us. Subscribe, because we're going to be uploading a weekly video from now on.
Yes.
And obviously, if you are tuning in on the audio channels, we are available to be subscribed to on all of the audio channels.
Yes, everywhere that you find a podcast. So until next week, I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon again.
Cheers.